This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org. This conversation is an attempt to conceptualize the Commercial America Project. We invite you to do so as well by joining in on this conversation. Our conversation begins with the closure of the Commercial Museum in 1991. In presenting a selection of the remaining artifacts, we seek to raise questions concerning storage and preservation, and in particular the presumption that collecting institutions store artifacts in perpetuity. We've been reading an essay by Thomas Keenan entitled The Ends of the Museum, and in that essay he claims that museums are built on loss and its recollection. There is no museum, he argues, without the threat of erasure or incompletion. No museum not shadowed by the imagination of the impending destruction of what it seeks to stabilize and maintain. And clearly, I think these artifacts signal that very idea that Keenan so eloquently explored. We can't think of the museum today without also potentially thinking of its potential erasure and the fragility of the artifacts housed within. And I think one of the most interesting questions is to think how we communicate those tensions and that fragility to a public. Is it through captions? Is it through the lack of captions to recognize the ephemeral nature of these artifacts, the orphan status that they have today? Is it through vitrines, or is it not through vitrines, insofar as vitrines suggest a typical exhibition display that we're trying to evade here? You know, how do you guys think we can share with the public, besides this very conversation, some of the tensions that inform it, some of the larger processes and forces that have brought us all here tonight and brought these artifacts to Slot in all of their orphaned and kind of unknown kind of status?
Well, I think it's interesting that we've joined ephemeral and orphaned. Uh-huh. That to be transitory means that that there's no one to parent them. And so then get into the idea of histories breaking apart and coming together. And, well, I mean like the history of an artifact and the history of its owners. And, you know, do we own this conversation? Do we own the show that we're setting up? How much is the audience implicated in it? How much is the listener going to join in the conversation? I mean, so it's the same question.
I think one of the ways we're exploring that, the loss of identity, would be by not putting captions on them, where they take on more of a more meaning after after all this time and. Like you said, not having anyone to parent them, they take on more of a meaning as a collective, and they come together. And by not putting captions on them, we're kind of stripping away a little bit of that individual identity.
And I think in that sense, the positioning of the work itself takes on more meaning, and that it should convey a sense of motion or haphazardness, so that the artifact itself sort of stands in a sense alone, and it's not necessarily angled with everything else and in cohesion with everything else, but maybe their histories are what bring them together.
Wait, so the histories as jumbled together, you mean? Or in their presentation?
So in their presentation, like what brought them to being in the same room and to being displayed together as a cohesive unit would be their histories, but by themselves I think there needs to be some sense of their being orphans conveyed some kind of haphazardness or motion in their display.
We need to perform it somehow. Mm-hmm. We need to show it. And so we can't think of this project as one that completely evades the culture of exhibitions or issues of showing or display. We need to, in a certain sense, perform their orphan status.
Yeah. But in performing it, we claim ownership of it. Mm-hmm. But we're going to anyway, because it's a show.
And also just in the context of the museum today, I think captions have a real importance for people in explaining what an item is. And so if we choose not to include captions, then how we show them and display them and perform them is going to be more important than ever.
In other words, we're trying to rethink what a caption is, but also acknowledge all of the things that a caption already signifies or signals.
In that sense, perhaps the entire show could come with its own caption, just one overarching caption that explains why we've chosen to do what we've chosen to do and acknowledges the significance of the caption mm-hmm. as something that specifically doesn't address what we were going for.
The individual objects, like it leaves out the objects, is kind of having an individual caption and has one that is more overarching. Is that what you mean?
Well, in a way, that's what we're doing because we're not labeling the individual objects, we're labeling the project as Commercial America, and so that is the one caption that we have. So in a way, whether intentionally or no, we've already kind of grouped the objects together, and their histories and their identities have been combined.
And we're having these specific artifacts, this very small selection of a much, much larger collection that has since been dispersed to other institutions, etc. We're having this very small selection be emblematic of the whole collection. Right, so we've already, even in our kind of haphazard decision as to which artifacts to take from that storage site that belong to the city, we've already kind of spoken for the collection, or we've already purported to argue that these artifacts could still speak to the collection that they're no longer part of. I mean, like,
or that no longer exists. Even.
Or that no longer exists. We're kind of almost nostalgic in a certain sense, or in our stubborn clinging to this commercial museum, mm-hmm. which hasn't existed for 19 years, and yet we talk about it as if it still haunts and defines these artifacts, even though these artifacts have no captions. They're orphaned at this point.
And that's going back to the idea you presented in the first place, that almost the entire point of the exhibit is to perpetuate and preserve this idea, something that no longer really exists.
So it is an exhibit. In that sense, it's clearly become an exhibit. If we started with some ambivalence about that word.
But if it's commercial, then, and Commercial America even, not even the Commercial Museum, then it's all about multiplication and selling and giving from me to you. But, like, that me is this huge conglomerate that's selling to you this faceless, unnamed multiple public, and America itself a melting pot or whatever of cultures or of different people of different objects and histories that we've just stuck together and labeled as one thing.
So what you're saying, if hearing you correctly, is that we can't think of these artifacts apart from their origins, and their origins were in part to promote kind of a vision of American kind of trade and commerce.
Or that we can, but by the same token, that opens it up away from their each individual histories, because those histories are themselves pointing to a multiplication.
But at the same time, we also chose not to look into where they came from specifically, like as individual objects.
We were labeling it Commercial America. Oh, by the way, this conversation is an attempt to conceptualize Commercial America, and we invite you to do so as well. Sorry.
Okay. I guess, like, with this project, I was most interested in the space that the objects originally came from and, like, the complete disarray that they existed in, and then in their transfer from that space to spot and what has been lost or redefined in the process of that transition.
I mean, I like to think of the way that we found them to be just one chapter in an ongoing series of kind of instantiations or storage arrangements. I like to think of that disarray as itself an organization, as itself an organizing kind of principle. Maybe not one that accords with our vision here of how things should be stored. And maybe one that is problematic with regards to stewardship or custodianship. But I like to think of those artifacts, they've always been shuffled through various storage systems, and they've always been filed in different ways. And I like to think of this project as successful insofar as it doesn't purport to be a final or conclusive version, but just adds another story to that long history of archivization of these artifacts.
Well, the artifacts themselves spoke to us when we saw them there. We didn't just pick them randomly. They carried some sort of aura that we thought we would be curious about to continue that.
Which artifacts did you pick?
I think I picked the baskets. I think I really liked the baskets from China. They're really simple, but at the same time, they seem really fragile and like they'd had a long history.
I always went for stuff that wasn't broken for some reason. Just reflexively, anything that I saw was chipped or scratched or just ripped in half, I completely disregarded, which just is a reflex I thought was interesting, because I think most of the objects were broken. Mm-hmm. And yet,
disorganized,
and you know, somehow we still managed to place enormous amounts of value on them. And is that, are they still valuable in actuality?
Oh, well, speaking of value, then, like, I mean, we're assigning value to things that were, like, left alone
in
a warehouse.
That are broken and unimportant.
I think that's what's been the most interesting for me, though. You know, we talked about tracing the history of them, is the fact that it came from, like, the centennial World's Fair, where there was this, you know, they had this value as promoting, like, America as an industrial power. And so they have, you know, this assigned but still large value in 1876, and how the idea of that value changed over time until they were in a warehouse. And now they're being brought back here. And I don't think there's any definitive way we can talk about that value, but the value has definitely changed.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we can even say that they were from that Centennial World's Fair, or from the Columbian World's Fair in Chicago of 1893. I wonder on what basis we construct that kind of claim.
Instead of
that
just
knowledge.
From the warehouse?
We don't know. I mean, the fact that they're orphaned and the fact that they originally came from the commercial museum that closed in 1991, that is what we know. Right? What we do not know is where these particular artifacts entered into that collection and whether it was from that World's Fair exhibition, which clearly has such an aura and a cultic kind of status for, I think, for us, right? It represents this encyclopedic attempt to map the world, our society, through artifactual remains. And problematic as that tendency is to want to speak encyclopedically for others or to represent ethnicities and cultures in such a, you know, fetishistic way, there's something compelling about it. But I don't know if we can make that claim that we know where these artifacts came. I think we want to say that we've saved these. I think we want to have a story, and that story is one where we've redeemed or reclaimed out of the passage of time, which absorbs everything and just levels everything to kind of equal kind of irrelevance. I think we want to say that these were really special artifacts that somehow missed all of the selection processes that has already taken place with this collection when larger museums came in over the last 19 years and picked choice artifacts. So I want like you to say that that we are discovering and recovering these artifacts, but I wonder if we can say that and what it means when we want to say that.
I think it feels like that because we see these objects, you know, totally marginalized, about to be thrown away. And we feel this enormous, like, sympathy for these, you know, inhuman objects and nothing to really feel sorry about. I think maybe we like to think of ourselves as heroes going in, you know, saving these precious things. And
I'm not sure it's so much a matter of trying to feel like heroes as maybe trying to find some other importance and feel like we've become part of this rich cultural history, this thing that we can, you know, hold in our hands and know that somebody else will be able to hold it in their hands, and we are part of that trajectory from then in the past to then in the future.
By the way, this conversation is an attempt to conceptualize the Commercial America Project. We invite you to do so as well.
So you mean it's a sort of heritage?
Yep. I think it's just with even when we seek to catalog things, I think it's an attempt to find where we belong and where our lives belong in their context. And so in that sense.
So to caption them?
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying. What you're saying is that we're affirming value by kind of recovering these artifacts, and that any attempt to kind of collect and to archive and to preserve is an attempt to affirm the importance of the past, and that in a different way we're trying to do that. I mean, that's one thing that I thought of as I was listening to you speak, that it's less about the particular history of each of these artifacts and more about something more general that we could say about our activity here, which is that we're trying to affirm the importance of the past, even when that past has kind of become unknowable or unknown. There's some desire that we have to kind of order or at least preserve whatever we can find that remains, even when we don't know exactly how it is that it remains.
So then if we're doing that, I mean, do we have an ordering from the museum that has died? Because if we're trying to reorder them, then wouldn't theoretically Slot have to do his own research and reorder them and then give them captions as Slot should do and give them owners again? If we are trying to preserve histories or save histories,
I mean, we have
that are unknowable.
I mean, as you recall, we have from the artifacts that we had taken, occasionally a status report, right? A condition report of the artifact, but it doesn't go back all the way. It doesn't say where the artifacts came from. It doesn't necessarily say their date of origin, their original site use or exhibition purpose. It simply gives us an update on their kind of, you know, condition in the recent past. And like you, I want to kind of give these captions, but I also want this to be, I also conceptualize this conversation and this exhibition as a pedagogical project, right? One that seeks to share our experience with a public that wasn't there that day and that may not think regularly about the way museums close, not just the way that they come into being, or that take the museum and its permanence as a certainty, right? And I'm interested in performing something, to go back to our earlier discussion. I'm interested in performing something with these artifacts. And I don't know how much the caption does that, if it's too heavy-handed, if, you know, what would this caption consist of if we haven't figured out what these artifacts are? It could consist of that, those theoretical perspectives that we're interested in bringing to bear upon these artifacts, but I wonder if this conversation is like a better caption.
And the title also.
And the title.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just we're reanimating them with their own history, and that new history is the show.
And there isn't one caption or one history. There's just a series of histories, a series of readings that we could bring to bear on the artifacts that the public
is listening
to.
Well, there's Commercial America, that's one caption.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather definitive.
It's a definitive. It's a framing, an overarching
one. Yeah, we put all of these together in one room and called it Commercial America.
What if we were to caption them with questions and, in that sense, sort of pay tribute to what the caption is and why it's important in the museum without offering any of these concrete answers that we don't really feel...
And that's where the objects came from, the concrete answers as to where each specific object came from.
Right, so we can't say for sure where everything came from and what each one is.
The question is, how many additional frames do we want to add on to it? Because those questions are another form of shaping the response.
The thing that bothers me about not having captions is I feel like to some degree we're denying information to the viewers that we have and aren't necessarily, you know, allowing them to have it. And, like, there were a few objects that I know what they are because a piece of paper told me, like the comb. I didn't know that was a comb. If I walked in, I wouldn't know that was a comb. So a part of me feels a little irked by not letting someone else know what it is. Even just a simple caption like that, even though it seems silly.
You know, one of the reasons that I had thought about the project being called Commercial America as opposed to Commercial Museum or as opposed to a random assortment of orphaned artifacts was that this was the very name of the monthly publication that the Commercial Museum distributed. And I thought this was, in a way, like a missive, like a letter that the Commercial Museum was still sending out. I thought of this as like their newsletter. But after the museum has come to a close, after it's closed, these artifacts still circulate in the way that newsletter, that kind of newspaper circulated. So I have trouble thinking of these artifacts without thinking of that institution. And I want to make these particular artifacts speak to a more general situation or condition, right? Which is the fragility and the ephemerality of all the things that we think of as quite certain and fixed, be those institutions, be those cultural artifacts. It's hard for me not to think with that very title, Commercial America.
But that title even harkens back to a museum that's dead. So it's...
How so?
Well, commercial, that museum isn't... We have this letter now because it's not there. This exhibition is full of Commercial America, specifically because the publication Commercial America is no longer circulated. And these artifacts are put together in a way to reanimate something or to animate something new. As whose parent is no longer like there. So we're already putting together the idea of orphanage of artifacts. I think we've killed this metaphor, but...
By the way, this conversation is an attempt to conceptualize the Commercial America project. We invite you to do so as well.
Well, the question is, how do we want to do this fragility and disarray on shelves?
Like, you mean, how do we perform it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting to think not in any particular way about how to literally show them, but more to think in a self-reflexive manner about what it would mean if we showed them in a particular way. I mean, I guess I'm trying to be evasive. I don't want us to have to figure out actually how to show it. I want us to just be able to perpetually reorganize these. And that may be an interesting idea, to just perpetually kind of shift them around. And I know that some of you had also been thinking similar thoughts.
And if we're allowing, I don't know what we decided on this, but if we're allowing people to touch them, we can even have the visitors themselves rearrange the exhibit as they see.
But how would they know that? We would have to caption it. We'd have to frame that in a certain sense. We'd have to make it explicit that we want them to take an active role in its rearrangement. But would that be simply like a rhetorical, like a symbolic gesture? Would that have any real meaning? Would that just be like a quick and easy form of participation, or would that be appropriate given this larger history that this project seeks to be part of?
Well, we also have explored the possibility of putting these artifacts back out into active circulation, in which case they would be rearranged and moved constantly. Any order or any sense of order we gave them would change as the objects were loaned and returned. Because they wouldn't all necessarily be in the same place at the same time. Which just made me think of the film we watched last week, Hypothesis of a Stolen Painting, in which when one painting is gone, the others fail to make sense as a whole. And I think that says something about what we're trying to do here, because we're saying that the identity of these objects and the exhibit we're trying to create would make sense even if they're rearranged and if some objects leave and if we aren't purporting to have them all together. But by our starting point is acknowledging that some objects are already missing.
I see. So like if we were to start with that movie, the narrative in that movie, the Hypothesis of the Stolen Painting, where like a missing artifact throws the whole collection into doubt, right? Its very meaning is no longer accessible or clear. Its reason for being is now ambiguous. Right? You're saying we start from the understanding that we're always in that position here. And so the question is, what do you do with these remains? And to what degree do you perpetually reorder them?
Right. Or I think we also start with the question of, is the collection in disarray because a piece is missing? So, you know, is the hypothesis of that film true? And whether it is or not, what do we do with that?
And is this collection partial, or was there never an encyclopedic kind of collection in a way? Was there just a series of artifacts? Mm-hmm. Would that be something that you would also think in relation to the film? We want to, I guess, when I think of these artifacts, I want to think that they are what remains from an encyclopedic aspiration or collection. But maybe that collection itself was impartial, was not encyclopedic. It aspired to that, as many collections do. But it,
in which case, this is a fraction of that.
This is just
fraction.
Yeah. Maybe we have to go beyond that structural myth that a collection is always encyclopedic and that you could ever represent everything.
I think the other way to go about it would be to see how we can take what we have and rebuild, and how complete we can, what degree of completion we can achieve by rebuilding, and acknowledging that what brought them here is their histories and what they mean together. So as opposed to looking at what's missing, perhaps sort of look at it constructively.
In an affirmative manner, right? And not get fixated on loss.
What's not there.
In which way, in which case what was missing would be missing, and the collection would still remain whole, just smaller.
I'm interested in this notion that, like, all of these institutions in the city, these larger institutions that make up, you know, a predominant part, a more visible part of the cultural ecology and landscape here, they've already had a number of opportunities to pick choice artifacts. And I'm interested in thinking of the way that a collection could exist across institutions, right? That the commercial museum would somehow still persist or exist, but its collection now, like, kind of maps the city, it kind of traverses the city. I'm interested in the way that we could think of artifacts that are within one collection as still having some identity relationship to artifacts that are now in another collection. It's kind of like a funny idea, but peculiar idea, but I like to think of, like, a way that we could think of artifacts beyond the limited circumstances of their storage. Like the Medici family ledger notebooks that are in the University of Pennsylvania Rare Books Room. Right? It's amazing that they've ended up there, of all places. But at the same time, their meaning there is what it is in relationship to Florence and to the Medici family and to this whole history that has played out in a different place. I'm interested in the way we could think of the commercial museum collection in relationship to the murky origins of where these artifacts came from, these Polynesian spears and oars, for instance, right? These kind of Eskimo sleds, or at least that's what I deduced, these Chinese porcelain and terracotta items. I'm interested in thinking of, like, this collection as having, like, roots that traverse the globe and not just traverse what was formerly the Convention Center or the Commercial Museum in Philadelphia or what is now the Philadelphia Museum of Art. I'm interested in thinking of, like, the collection as one that has traveled so far and for a brief moment in time before it disperses in turn is in the bank vault here.
I think that the idea of sense of place is really interesting from what you were saying, and in all these different institutions across the city that have taken up these objects, like, in that process, like, they're also changed by each institution. We hope, yeah, that takes them up. And I wonder how that changes those objects in relation to the other ones that have been adopted by the various institutions across the city.
But it still speaks, like, yes, all this speaks to my desire, at least, to, like, want to map all the routes that they've traveled and all the routes they will travel, rather than just accepting that they're in flux and they're...
But in a way that's trying to be encyclopedic with them.
Genealogical.
Yeah. It's
like tracing their origins or their, maybe not their origins, but their pathways, right? Acknowledging that they're always in transit.
By the way, this conversation is an attempt to conceptualize the Commercial America Project. We invite you to do the same.
So to what degree do we think that it's important for people to be able to interact with the objects? Should they be able to move them? Should they be able to touch them? It sounds like that's a recurring theme in our questions and in our discussions, and that in particular always seems to end up open-ended.
I feel a little frustrated with that because I feel like no matter whether we allow them to be touched or not, it's still like this, like you said, performative gesture. And it, like, I know when we were initially talking about how to present the objects, an idea of mine was to just have them in the boxes that they came in. But I don't know, I feel a little...
We threw the boxes out by accident.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We didn't have a place to store.
I feel a little, like, confined by the fact that it's, like, performative. Mm-hmm. So
I don't want to create a please touch museum.
Yeah.
With them.
I think it's a little too much for me, personally.
I think that's an interesting concept of packaging them as though they, like, look like they're in transit. Maybe we could sort of play on that theme by, I guess this in particular might be kind of kitschy, but like having kind of postage boxes and stamps and like that kind of theme, or like some, I want to say mural of a map.
Or just literally we could have a series of boxes and you peek in to the box to see the artifact.
Just like in your office where you're all
going through the boxes. Can you hold them out?
Suppose with gloves, anything can be touched. I mean, I'm thinking not as an archivist, but more in terms of these kind of, for instance, these bird fans, these taxidermy birds that are supposedly from Brazil that were turned into fans. And I'm conscious of the fact that taxidermy is often involved chemicals and procedures that are resulting in states of preservation that we shouldn't necessarily touch, insofar as the residues of the chemicals will be left with us or on us. And so part of me thinking in that way, not as the archivist, but as the as a concerned
fellow human being.
Fellow human being.
Cultural community.
Part of me thinks that, like, ephemeral as these artifacts seem, as like harmless as they seem, as much as they seem to offer us a side of play and performativity, there also is quite literally a certain danger associated with them.
And what is it to let people touch certain objects and not other ones? I mean, they wouldn't necessarily know it was for their own physical safety.
And is touching necessary to tell this story?
What do you guys think the motivation behind the idea to touch the objects is? Is it to like create a closer relationship between these like orphaned objects and the viewer or the audience, or what do you guys think?
I think it's I guess when I first think of it, it's a way to quote unquote take the objects off the shelf where they're kind of in a place of veneration with an aura and show them to show that they're able to be handled and kind of give a public a sense of ownership over them.
So kind of like what we talked about earlier, like breaking down boundaries between inside and outside, or?
I think it breaks down the aura of an artifact, which I think it's an effective thing to do. I just don't think it's the same issues we had in mind during this conversation.
By the way, this conversation is an attempt to conceptualize a Commercial America project. We invite you to do so as well.
I think in addition to that, it's also a way of letting the audience partake in the history, in the sense that we're saying it's been through so much and we've brought it here to showcase that. And in that sense, they can feel like they're doing something to change this artifact as it goes on.
I think this goes back, I think the idea of touching goes back to an idea that I've been really interested in, which is kind of this status quo and what is normal in a museum, because that's, we're really trying to get away from that. And I mean, I think it's an interesting thing that we're trying to get away from it for this exhibit, but at the same time, it's almost like we're condemning what, like, how normal exhibition shows things.
I mean, talk about performativity. Where these artifacts are going to be in a former bank vault with the title of Commercial America. I mean, there's so much performativity here. The question is, like, in a way, is there too much
Right. Or can one, or can one not be on performance? Can one not be performing? Are these objects, were they perhaps created simply for a performative kind of context? I mean, are these Aboriginal artifacts, for instance, or are they artifacts that were like literally produced for exhibition, as one would produce many things today? One would fabricate them for display. It's so hard to know, like, could we, I mean, is it very naive to think that we need to be performing? Like, weren't these artifacts perhaps very, very much created as a performative gesture in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I really like, part of the thing I really liked about the touching of the objects was when you go to a museum, you're just not allowed to participate in the objects themselves, so to speak. You're not participating in, let's say you go into the Met, you're not participating in art history, like you're simply the observer. It's very, it's like watching television, it's very non-participatory.
Well, you could participate, you just would have to go to great lengths to,
yes,
to intervene and to create a counterintuitive.
And the ease to which someone can feel active is just something to take, I think it's an opportunity we should take advantage of.
Well, is it? I think it's more that we're allowing the audience to be consciously active,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to like unconsciously intervening in their histories and becoming part of them and bringing their own set of assumptions to the piece as we are to the pieces.
We're trying to like dehabitualize their customary everyday.
Yeah, or at least having them notice it.
To be self-reflexive, conscious.
Yeah.
By the way, this conversation is an attempt to conceptualize the Commercial America project. We invite you to do so as well.
You think we can use a vitrine? What would it mean to use vitrines, not to house every artifact, but to house some? Should we have different models, for instance, of display presented here? Does there need to be a uniformity? Like, how does one produce this discontinuity and this disorganization that we're all so enamored with?
I think one way to go about that would be to use height. I have the sense that the aura that a vitrine conveys is in opposition to what we're aiming for, so I would hesitate to advocate for that. But I think it's obviously important to keep some things isolated.
Why?
For health reasons, to convey what you can and can't.
No, I just wanted to make sure, because I'm just afraid of us hierarchizing, which I'm not sure is a word the piece is. So, like, for health consideration, yeah. Right. But, like,
I think there's...
I'm agreeing with
you. I'm just afraid of that.
I think there's a line to walk, because I feel like using different forms of presentation would be effective in showing some in vitrines and some on tables, and it would contribute to a sense of disorder and disarray. But I think if we're not careful, using a vitrine would be the same as putting a caption on some artifacts and not the others, where we're giving them, you know, an elevated status.
We could put the most kind of fragmented,
the smallest, broken,
smallest artifacts in a vitrine.
Let's put the most insignificant ones.
But I...
I want to put the public in a vitrine. Like, why is it that the artifacts have to be housed in this manner? I mean,
yeah, maybe the public should come in and like, in the middle of a little glass.
And they realize
that and we say, please touch, but they can't.
So.
But isn't this what a museum is? It kind of presents us as this kind of like artifacts that aren't supposed to do too much. We're just supposed to be there and read our captions. Part of me thinks of like the whole organization is one big vitrine that everybody's willingly inserted themselves into. And in encountering these artifacts, like you suddenly have the opportunity, as you said, to like think of your relationship to artifacts differently. Not as if they're so exotic and foreign, but just in a more customer, everyday manner.
Well, we watched that film, Synecdoche, where they all become part of this movie that somebody's putting together for his MacArthur Genius Fellowship, and they begin to forget, or it begins to be part of their lives, and all of a sudden it takes over, and for all intents and purposes, becomes that, which looks at it differently. It breaks down the inside and outside by creating this inside or outside that they at first are separate from, and then become completely embroiled in.
When in Synecdoche, New York, Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, like, he launches a process without knowledge of where it'll end. Right, and he's no longer doing something that's fixed, like his theater production does, that seeks to document and represent his life. It never begins or ends. It's just an ongoing.
Well, is that what we're saying with mysteries, though?
Yeah.
An archivization.
So the question is, how do we instantiate that here? How do we produce that? How do we suggest that here? I mean, one way clearly is this legal contract that allows the public to request to take these artifacts home or to their place of work. That's one way that the process doesn't begin or end. It's just ongoing. And it creates a different form of stewardship. After all, there's no concealed irony in the fact that these artifacts were supposed to be stewarded and they end up now in their orphan status. And so perhaps there's something to be said for the public as a steward, not the public institutions as stewards, but the everyday citizen as an equally viable steward.
Once we're handing these objects over to the public, do we have a plan for, like, how to let them treat it? I mean, are we keeping careful track of them and expecting them back, or are we kind of...
There's a social contract, right? And there's expectations. There's an agreement. But at the heart of it, there's this notion that you could entrust responsibility not just to archivists or institutions, but to individuals. And that stewardship could be just as meaningful and as protective and as custodial.
Are we selling them or giving them more?
Sharing?
Circulating.
I mean, because we call it commercial America.
Oh, I see.
A commercial transaction?
You mean, have we made a fatal misstep? Like, should we in fact be selling precisely to represent the spirit of the collection that we seek we purport to kind of document or be inspired by?
Well, how are things, how do they change hands? How are histories created?
Well, through various means and ways, right? So maybe we need to revisit the homogeneity of the way that we're purporting to circulate these in perpetuity.
I'm not sure if this is exactly a commercial exhibit in the way we're thinking of it right now, though. I mean, they were never produced, really. These objects were probably produced for the World's Fair themselves, in which case they weren't ever really being traded. They were originally produced to be put on display.
By the way, this conversation is an attempt to conceptualize the Commercial America Project. We invite you to do so as well.
Also, what do we do with the objects after everything? When the exhibit's over, maybe a handful of people have decided to take some home, whether permanently or on loan. Are they going to go back into storage somewhere? It's a little heartbreaking to think of it that way.
I mean, it would be appropriate to not have a plan, or at least to have a plan that one interrupts or that doesn't fully get realized.
Or that we don't have control over.
Yeah.
We're giving them.
Right.
But as people who came in to recover the objects, the orphaned objects, don't we want to, at the risk of sounding ridiculous, give them a family? Do we want to give them a place?
I do feel we have some responsibility in a sense to them.
Yeah, I feel responsible for them.
So I understand.
What would it mean for them to not have a place? Is that possible?
No.
I mean, because we're giving them away to a different place.
Well, what?
That storage that we've recovered them from, is that a less viable or less valuable place than the spot?
But that storage doesn't exist anymore. What happened to the objects that weren't claimed? They were discarded by the city.
What happened to them? Do we know?
They were thrown out.
Or thrown away and given a different sort of exhibition.
I don't think they were given.
Remember,
exhibition.
Remember, we came in at the very end of
the
process.
I mean, exhibition in a figurative.
We came in at the very end of a 19-year process. And through the Orphans Court and a variety of means, a variety of artifacts from that collection had been selected and kind of taken and absorbed by other collections and institutions. And the artifacts that we selected were what remained at the very end of a process that in a variety of ways had played out over 19 years. And later that day, the understanding that we were given was that whatever remained would have been considered no longer of value because a process of evaluation had played out so many times such that they would be discarded.
That's so interesting.
So the question is very much like, what counts, what gets counted as valuable? And why were these artifacts that are so valuable to us that we would even have this conversation, which is an attempt to conceptualize the project. You know, these artifacts that are so valuable to us were also the artifacts that were so invaluable as to still exist after 19 years.
What's so interesting is that we're not, for the purposes of this right now, like we're not captioning each individual artifact. They're valuable in the sense that we're going to talk about artifacts right now. So really, would it matter if we took these artifacts or if we took the globe that is now described by the city that I really wanted to take, you know?
Well, in that sense, are they really valuable, or are they just, like, we have assigned a certain value to them that...
Right. They have a performative value. They have pedagogical value.
I would argue it's the same thing.
Sorry, I misinterpreted it.
Or that value is imposed by the museum, in which case it does matter that we've taken these because we have taken them, so it's kind of...
But from a curatorial perspective...
Financial value versus sentimental value.
From a curatorial perspective, we have such power to render valuable even that which was going to be discarded a few hours later. It's pretty remarkable, in a way, the degree to which this is very much a curatorial project. And there are those artists that had originally conceptualized or made these pieces. But in a certain sense, we've replaced the normal way you think about an exhibition with these gestures of reclamation and of performative
Well, and that's so interesting because Iris, you just asked that question about imposing value versus intrinsic value of a piece. And if we have this piece, which is both these pieces which have been conceptualized by artists, right? And so that piece is composed of the concepts that have gone into it. Or that was the point, let's say. Mm-hmm. That was the artist's intent, even though intent is a bad word. And so a museum then, and we're throwing out those concepts because for us what's important about this artifact is what importance we've given it, commercial America, histories and museums, that sort of thing, which may or may not have been, but the concepts that went into it for World's Fair, then it's a different piece. We haven't saved it.
Well, part of me thinks we should not save it at all, in fact, and in keeping with the peculiar process that has played out, we should do the most performative of things. We should throw it out.
No.
Why is it?
No.
Why not? Why not discard some objects at the end? I mean, after all, the most beautiful way to affirm the importance of value, the importance of preserving, the importance of collections, the importance of the past, is to sacrifice, right? Items in that very kind of pursuit. Ai Weiwei, you know, had that show recently here in Philadelphia in which these amazingly precious urns were dropped and photographs were taken of these urns as they were being sacrificed to make a general statement or to offer a series of propositions or provocations for the public. I mean, would it be in keeping with that very sacrificial way of thinking that contemporary artists are engaged in today, would it not be appropriate to do something similar here? I mean, to take precisely that which is precious in one way or the other to us, however we define that value, but which at the same time, you know, was going to be thrown out if we hadn't shown up.
What are the consequences for history? Because then wouldn't it stop?
Well, it depends on what basis is history written, like, were these artifacts central in history with a capital H?
What's central mean? I mean, in talking about evaluating things, like central versus peripheral. Mm-hmm. Wherever we judge it's central. Is it only central because we have deemed it central and said, okay, this is now going to represent commercial America?
It's true, the peripheral objects are always so interesting and are as interesting as anything supposedly thought of as central.
But then once we display them, all of a sudden they become centralized.
Have they?
Well, we're a museum, right? And so we're putting together, these are the artifacts that we have said represent commercial America, let's say. Or a museum puts on a show about, I don't know, Picasso. Or
they're central, but they still have no captions. They're still orphaned. So they're central, but they're still anonymous.
But I think this whole conversation is just a testament to how important the museum itself is. It's like, if something is in the garbage, then it's garbage for all intents and purposes until someone picks it up and puts it elsewhere, which is exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to say we pick these things up and we think that they have value, and until someone decides they don't, they do.
By the way, this very conversation is an attempt to conceptualize commercial America, the commercial museum, and a potential curatorial project. We invite you to be part of this conversation as well.
I never really even thought of what was going to happen after the exhibit was over, but now that we do, I mean, when you first brought up the idea of destroying them, I think that was the last thing I wanted to do. But now that I think about it, I think that would almost be what's best. I mean, one of my personal problems with museums is this idea of keeping everything forever, when in reality, 90% of a museum is never going to be seen by anyone. So why should we just relegate these to some dark storage room again, so maybe they're never seen for 100 years, or maybe they're never seen again at all? Is it just the idea that they're still there?
Well, what if, as a solution to that, we've been talking about loaning them out to the public, what if we loaned them permanently until they disappeared? So we would be destroying them symbolically by destroying this group commercial America identity that they have.
They're like attachment to an institution.
Right, they're attached to an institution. Their attachment to each other.
Or they take on entirely new attachments. I think destroying them, saying, okay, Slot Foundation is going to destroy these in 2 weeks, is a way to completely control the pieces, and we're trying to give up control.
What if we like didn't necessarily have a public version, a public story that would explain what's going to happen with these artifacts? What if it was more piecemeal? Some were loaned, some may be sacrificed, some may be potentially donated to other institutions, some may be put on eBay, let's even say, to raise funds to sustain the preservation of others.
I was only saying, like, not to destroy them, because I think they should take the most natural course that an object can take.
Yeah, to me it's so artificial.
Yeah.
To control
it. There's an artificiality to just dumping them in the garbage. It takes the performance a little bit too far. They're still entitled to go on their path and their new context and their new values, even if they end up in someone's flooded basement.
I mean, we're just acting as part of this, like, history of owners, and we're trying to implicate that and implicate histories and create histories and send things on. So,
yeah.
I know this is a really weird thing, but I've kept thinking about this the more and more we talk about loaning it out to the public, is can't you just see some, like, gallery or foundation, just, like, Slot in, like, 100 years coming across this conversation and being like, let's see if we can track down all these items and put them together again. Is that really...
That would be so great.
Yeah.
Meaning, I don't think we need to worry about controlling the ends of this. This is all about how history is so open-ended, and we have no idea where these artifacts are from.
Right, in front of the archive, the fantasy is always wanting to, like, find the key or the map or the kind of a way to conceptualize it all. And isn't that the danger?
I don't know. You know what? Maybe this is weird and weird, but you're sitting at the train station, there are these people who pass you, and you make up stories about them, and you're like, oh my God, this totally fits that person. You know, we're making up histories and, like, wishes and dreams for these artifacts. We don't know anything, and we shouldn't. It's just we're trying to free them. It's not, or we're just part of this.
Part of me kind of thinks that if there was ever an artifact that would make sense for a Slot, for instance, to hold on to, it's not really a question of an artifact that was central or peripheral. It's an artifact that would have something to say about display in and of itself. For instance, those dioramas. Mm-hmm. You know, that beautiful glass enclosed diorama. It's an exhibit in and of itself. And we are in a very kind of self-reflexive way thinking about how to exhibit something that already itself was an exhibit. And I'm so fascinated by these earlier models of exhibition and the way that those could intersect or be entangled within our ideas of exhibition. And I wonder if, like, if ever there was an artifact that could stay its slot and could impact, have an impact upon how we think and how our public comes and sees what we do, it would be that diorama, right? I could imagine, like, the permanent installation here of that glass enclosed diorama, so that when the public comes, they see a show, but they also see this visible attentiveness to earlier ideas of showing. So, like, but I'm sure there are artifacts that are as meaningful to individuals and to others as that one would be to us at Slot. And so maybe the issue is just figuring out a way to make sure that various publics are able to experience these artifacts and construct a narrative or develop a relationship to some of them. Maybe not predicated on their name or their patrimony, but just some relationship to them. And maybe that would be the way to figure out what to do with them, in part.
To briefly digress, I think it's interesting that you brought up the diorama. The Slot itself looks a little bit like that, with the people inside and the big vitrine. And
the storefront window.
The storefront
and
window.
It looks kind of like nobody can see this conversation taking place in the back. They just see an empty space in the front that could be
there.
Just an exhibit. And indeed, institutions are themselves exhibits.
This is similar to what we talked about earlier, the museum within the museum, like reconstructing like the interior space of the museum, or rethinking it.
It's funny, we began like trying to evade the idea of exhibition, and we've now just kind of
returned,
kind of accepted wholeheartedly the inevitability of that process.
Be there, you know. And in trying to destroy it, we'll just exhibit it more.
But for those that would come, for instance, to this recording, but not come to the space, right? That would experience the collection immaterially through this conversation, which is itself an attempt to conceptualize the project. What would they think of it? What would they think of that collection? Like, would they be as enchanted? Would they have as much desire for it? Would they be as interested and fascinated in it? After all, such a small amount of people will see these artifacts. And yet at the same time, maybe that's more than enough.
I think if anything, this conversation makes it more that the ideas are more important than the objects themselves. I mean, if I was listening to this conversation, I think there's a few times where we've been like, what is special about these objects? And if that's all you're hearing, you've never seen them, that's what you're going to think too. So I think it really is the ideas and what we've come to accept about the museum and exhibitions themselves.
Well, I think that's part of how we're conducting the conversation that really reflects our sense in doing this. We haven't even looked at the artifacts. We haven't referenced specific ones or thought about how specific ones could fit. We're just talking about them.
It's sort of also an example of how we think of not just these objects, but objects in a museum, too. It's not the object itself. It's maybe just the ideas circulating around it that gives it more importance and value.
Yeah, but we're also letting the ideas go. Because if we're giving away the objects, or if somebody comes to an object through an idea and they're like, hey, I'm really interested in looking at the show, or at least looking at some of the pieces or the images of the pieces that we put up on the website, if we're doing that, then... And even as we give them away, these pieces have lost the ideas that went into them in the first place. There is a first place. And we're giving them away to different ideas and different owners. So in the end, the objects, I don't know, going to triumph, but the objects is
there's
definitely...
Place anyways.
The object triumphs, but we're thinking, at least I've been thinking of this as, you know, one step in the history of these objects.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ideas are also, like, the ideas are what's important at this moment. the ideas weren't important, you know, 20 years ago, and they won't be important 20 years from now, but...
Well, they'll still be important as part of the history.
Right. But, of course, the, you know, the ideas won't last, and the objects will triumph over...
But, I mean, I...
In terms of time, the objects will triumph over the ideas, but at this one point, the ideas are what is important.
Mm-hmm. But the lack of ideas is still going to be important. I just want to say the object's not going to get lost.
Right.
In the idea.
I think that a large part of this conversation was to try and like reanimate the original space that we all kind of accidentally entered, or and to recreate that space in an immaterial way is really difficult. I think a lot gets lost in translation because we all experience that space, but
things are always going to get lost. Mm-hmm. I think that's the nature of translation.
Okay. I think that's fine, but. I was really in love with that space as well.
Yeah.
So you feel strongly that it should be represented some way, instantiated some way, with whether through image or projection of photo documentation or whatever.
I think I personally feel that way just because I have a very clear sense of what it felt like to walk into that room and see all of these objects that were once very important, scattered all over the floor and half opened boxes, paper everywhere, and just like objects on the floor, objects halfway on shelves, just and having the space being not orderly, but like you said, finding it sort of order.
But we're still going to have that in there, even with the title and the fact that we're putting on the show and we're saying this is from Commercial America, this is from the World's Fair, or whatever. It's a transfer, and I think that's okay. We don't have to recreate it in all of its
perhaps.
Cardboard glory.
Perhaps at the end of the show, before whatever happens next, or perhaps to think of what could happen next, we could kind of meditate again on this issue of showing, right? And the way in which we're always caught up in this logic of display, of showing, of performing. And what if we performed in a different way? What if we took the Polynesian oars and spears and we tried to use them? And we went for a ride on a canoe. And what if we took our glass jars of rye and of food, and we cooked a meal? What if we like literally tried to just put them to use? We intervened in the.
What if we fanned ourselves with the poisonous?
And I mean,
we're so into this issue of the artifact thing.
But part of me wants to think about that, like. If these artifacts were meant to document activity and ritual, to what degree could we, in a very performative and playful way, try to create new rituals?
I mean, we're talking so much about how they're meant to do this and meant to do that, but then at the same time we're saying that they're going to lose these ideas, or these ideas are going to be part of it, but in a different way. I mean, how much can we even presume to think was the intent, and how much does intent matter anyway in the end?
By the way, this conversation was an attempt to conceptualize the Commercial America project, and we invite you to do the same.